Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We have somebody teasing they could possibly be a Dallas Cowboy. If you missed it, we'll cover it here. We do have some updates. I know Joseph Hoyt and others on the beat have been on that. We'll share that with you as we do a little football fix. Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation, Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio, going to join us on the other side as he has been live at Big 12 Media Day. So much to discuss regarding Texas Tech and the current state of the Big 12. It is Zach Wolchuk alongside the Super Bowl champion scout Brian Broaddus, Eric Chia. Follow my partner in crime, of course, Lucius Alexander, holding it down in the Pimp Cup. Shout out to Austin Nix, doing great work coordinating your video on Twitch and on YouTube. Thank you for rocking with us on this hump day. We wouldn't be here without you, but let's do it. Here's our football fix.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
The hot Cowboy news right now. Von Miller posting a picture of himself in a Cowboys jersey on Instagram, and it's got Cowboys Nation now running wild with all kinds of ideas and speculation. Is it happening? Finally, DeSoto's own. Is he coming back home for one last ride in Dallas? Well, Joseph Hoyt said he talked with a couple people and nothing to report back on this front, quote, yet. Couple things worth noting. Von Miller, as I mentioned, he's from DeSoto, just south of Dallas. He and the Cowboys defensive coordinator Christian Parker did cross paths in Denver. Cowboys could use more an outside linebacker, but the roster currently is full. They'd have to make a move if indeed they were to sign Von Miller. He also was with Emmitt Smith and Dez Bryant for a FIFA World Cup game recently. Took a picture with them. And then he's got his annual pass rush summit that is coming up. He hosts that, and you do have several Cowboys that are signed on to attend that. Donovan Ezeraku, Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, those along with Quinnen Williams that will be going to the SAC Summit that's hosted by Von Miller, Cam Jordan, and Max Crosby, Brian.
Yeah, Joseph reached out. I reached out, too. My direct message was I sent a picture of Von Miller's account, and I said, is he just fishing here? And he says, yeah, I think he's fishing. So my source, they Joseph is, a lot of these guys, Todd Archer, Calvin Watkins, Clarence Hill, all those guys are plugged in, but it seems to be that Von Miller, just as my source would say, is just fishing right here.
All right. Well, we'll monitor that. But I mean, that makes some sense. Maybe he's trying to will it into existence. He's flirted with Dallas several times. And who knows what his market is right now. I mean, I know he's also been very outspoken that his desire would be to go back to Denver and his career there. But I think that'd be a fun addition if the Cowboys were to make it happen. I don't think you can have enough good pass rushers. And several people have asked, like, okay, would you rather have Von Miller and Jadeveon Clowney? I think Clowney's really... We're propped up based on his final game against the Giants. Like, Devin Clowney is very similar to Rashawn Gary in terms of he's not some sack specialist. He's a good all-around player that'll give you 6 to 8 sacks a year. But he had to have 3 or 4 to hit the 8 mark in his final game to hit his incentives. Like, Devin Clowney knows what he's doing. He knows what he has to do. He can turn it on when he wants to, and then he can certainly just go ahead and chill. And I think there's a reason he's been a mercenary, and it jumps from team to team and doesn't sign until training camp and gets his 1 year, $10 million bag. He had a really nice season here. But I think if I got to choose, like, I don't know that Devin Clowney's some sort of mentor kind of guy. Von Miller clearly would be willing to be that. And you have some young dudes that you like and are excited about. And Ezeraku and Malachi Lawrence, I think Von Miller would be the better fit between the two on this year's Cowboys team.
Yeah, I think Miller would embrace the role of being that that player coach kind of guy to the younger dudes and embracing the role of, you know, a small number of snap counts, being a true designated pass rusher. And I do think he fits that role better than what Clowney does. Clowney is a plus player in the sense that he's good against the run and he can be disruptive that way and then give you a little bit of juice off the edge, but not the finishing sack juice that you want from or that you get from maybe more of a Von Miller, right? So right. I think it fits much better for Miller over Clowney, and I'm all for this move. I don't want to make it seem like, oh my gosh, this is a total needle mover, but mm-hmm. it's like a Kobe Durant. You help raise the floor of your defense.
Right. And hey, the more pass rushers, the better. All right, let's go to Caleb Downs and his brother Josh Downs, Downs to Business podcast, as they grew up in a football family. I mean, their dad played at a high level. Their uncle, Dre Bly, won a Super Bowl with the Rams. They're built for this, and here they are kind of talking about growing up in a football family.
I felt like we was around players growing up, and that was the biggest thing for us, to be around my mom's high school students, like Kevin Mentor, Cameron Hayward, those type of guys. Mm-hmm.
It's good to get back to the community and let kids, you know, see professional players in front of them, college players, and it kind of gives them a sense of, like, not making it, like, irregular, not making it seem like we're, like, these movie stars. Mm-hmm. If they see you in front of them, they're kind of like, wow, like, he's not that big, or wow, like, he played here for high school. Like, oh, I can do it too. So I feel like for me, that's a big thing. And our family friends are former NFL players. So, and then again, our uncle is Dre Bly. And, like, one of his great friends was Torrey Holt. And we used to be at Torrey Holt's crib. And you don't even know how good Torrey Holt is. Seeing, like, an NFL player wasn't, like, this surreal moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. Like, it was like, okay, like, Dre Bly had, what, 43 picks in the league? Like, that's abnormal stuff done. But again, that's our uncle. We see him all the time. Every day. It was pretty cool.
Hey, it's definitely not an, oh my gosh, NFL, this is some crazy, like, Caleb Downs has been built for this, man. Him and his brother, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Tkachuk brothers in the NHL. Their dad, Keith Tkachuk, just getting inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they've been around it their entire life. And for some people, like, maybe it doesn't end up resulting in I'm some great NFL player. For Caleb, I think it absolutely will, and I just think those bloodlines, it's always something I make a note of when I see that, you know, reading through notes when we're prepping for the draft, Brian. It's like, okay, this guy's got a family member.
And we're seeing that
a
lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, we are seeing that a lot more in these reports with these kids. There was a time like, oh, yeah, well, he's so-and-so's son. Oh, great. Now it seems like you scout, you know, 10, 12 guys, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute, his dad was or his uncle was? So it's a very, very common thing nowadays.
Well, and we got another Harrison, Jet Harrison, younger brother of Marvin Harrison Jr., also going to be going and playing
this
for
one
Ohio
might be
State.
Better.
Man, that would be wild. I mean, I will say, I've been a little surprised in Marvin Harrison Jr. and how
quarterback situation.
I think that could have a lot to do with it. Maybe this year, I mean, I don't know, he's still got Jacoby Brissett, but eventually I think it'll click for him, but it has been disappointing.
Coordinator, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe just being in Arizona. He'll get Arch next year. We'll get another Manning to Harrison. That's what I'm hoping for him. Let's stay with wide receivers. Let's go to my guy. Nobody else's, okay? Screw you, Bobby. Ryan Flannoy. Ryan Flannoy. Mm. This story is crazy. This is him and Nicole Hutchinson. And Nicole Hutchinson's got a good deal going out on DallasCowboys.com, and you can check it on their social media page. She interviewed our buddy Jake Ferguson. Mm. Now she's got Flannoy. I tried to play this story several weeks ago. Bad on my part. You heard a lot of crap going on. The audio was very unclear. But here's Flo. 99 pounds in high school. Mm. How did you keep the belief?
When was it that your coach at the time basically told you weren't going to be anything?
Yeah, that was my freshman year, and I remember the meeting. We was in the driver's ed room. The wrestling coach came out and said, yeah, these are all the NFL players who wrestle. He's trying to get us to come wrestle. And it's a room, like 70 of us in the room. And who in here want to play college? Everybody hand, straight up. Oh, he just pointed me out. He was like, Ryan. I was 5'3", 99 pounds. I knew that because I wrestled 99 pounds. But I was 5'3", 99 pounds. And he was like, with your height, you're not gonna play at the next level. Yeah, I just remember that and, like, being hurt. Like, my heart's sunk and felt like my dreams was crushed. But I always never gave up on myself. That's one thing, you know, I don't like to give myself credit a lot, but I never give up. Somebody think I can't do anything, I like to prove myself. And if I can't do it, I'm going to try again. God bless me. I grew 6'2", 205 right now.
Big dog.
Yeah.
That's crazy. 5'3", 99 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And now 6'2", 205. What a freaking jump
for Ryan Flannoy. And, I mean, some of the stories you've heard about him, like he breaks his wrist or his arm, and you've got the pro scouts that are coming out there, and he's like, no, I'm still doing all the drills. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not staying out. Like, this guy's just driven to be great. I think that's part of the reason why we believe in him. And I'm excited to go, you know, see how he looks this year and takes another step. I mean, year one to year two is a hell of a jump. 2 to 3. Can he go out there and prove, like, hey, guys, I'm here. And if you need me to be your wide receiver, too, I can do that. Otherwise, we've got the best trio in the entire NFL with CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and Ryan Flannoy.
It's crazy to go from 5'3", 99 pounds, and then years later you're at the NFL Combine and you're scoring a 9.9 out of 10 based on your physical skill set, your size, your explosiveness, your speed. He is so much more athletic than I thought he was.
It's unbelievable. Okay, so CBS Sports today put out the NFL offensive infrastructure rankings, which teams have best set up their quarterback for success. They graded play callers, offensive lines, and weapons to see which teams have set their quarterback up for ultimate success. The worst on the list is the Miami Dolphins for Malik Willis. I mean, you got Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell, those are your starting wide receivers. The Titans, the Browns, and the Commanders are the help needed, 29 through 31. Help wanted, you've got the Panthers, the Giants, the Jets, the Texans, the Cardinals. Then average incubators, Steelers, Ravens, Raiders, Seahawks, despite winning a Super Bowl, Bucks, which I'm surprised by, and the Patriots. Tier 3, above average, Colts. Eagles at 16, which is a big difference from yesterday. The roster rankings were there at 2. They're at 16 here. Broncos at 15, Saints at 14, Packers at 13, Falcons at 12, Vikings at 11, still no Cowboys. Tier 2, very good environment. Chargers at 10, Cincinnati at 9, Chiefs at 8, Bills at 7, Jags at 6, 49ers at 5, still no Cowboys. The best ecosystems in the NFL. At number 4, you've got the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, there we go.
Then the Lions, the Bears, number 1, surprise, surprise, it's the Rams. But they are grading play caller, they are grading offensive line, and they are grading weaponry around one Dak Prescott. Would you agree they have put together the ideal ecosystem for Dak, which means, sir, go out there and keep playing at a high level. There's no more excuses, and hopefully they've now rewarded you with a better defense to give you a better chance at a championship.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, you can't have perfection. You're always going to have something that is not ideal, and I think that's the offensive line right now, and maybe a little bit with your tight end room is just okay, and you could use a little bit more explosiveness out of the backfield. But when it comes to a play caller, and when it comes to the Pickens-Lamb factor, like, those right there are what elevate you. Your offensive line, somewhat average at this point, with potential to take another step if Guyton and the young guys can step up a little bit. But, I think so much of this is being propped up by the shoddy Clayton Adams combo of offensive coordinators and then just what Pickens and Lamb do for you,
yeah,
which is astronomical.
Unbelievable. It's craziness. Finally here, you've got your execs, coaches, and scouts. They've ranked the top edge rushers. Myles Garrett, 1. Last year, he was 1. Not surprising. Micah is 2. Your former Cowboy and current Green Bay Packers. Highest ranking was 2. His lowest ranking on the list was 5. Last year, he was 3. He's moved up to 2 now.
I'd go Will Anderson.
I agree. I'd put him over Micah, 2 at this point. I think he's just a better overall player. Will Anderson Jr. is 3. His lowest ranking was 8, which, I mean, what are these people doing?
I don't get it, dude.
I don't either. Highest ranking at 2. Last year, he was 8, so moving up from 8 to 3 is pretty big. Max Crosby, though, still at 4 on this list, and his highest ranking was 2. His lowest ranking was 8. Last year, he was at 4. He stays at 4. An NFC exec saying he is a bad mother bleeper versus the run, the pass, whatever. He is a pain in the ass all game. I still love me some Max Crosby. Aiden Hutchinson at 5. Danielle Hunter at 6. TJ Watt at 7. He dropped from 3 the year before. Nick Bosa at 8. He did get unranked by some. His highest ranking was 3. Brian Burns of the Giants at 9. And Nick Benito of the Broncos at 10. There is not a Dallas Cowboy even in the also receiving votes category.
It was funny this morning to listen to Choppy try and guess these.
Did he not really know what was happening?
He was just, Bobby was trying to lead him down the path of, all right, let me give you a hint here. Choppy was just going all over the map. Mm. I was like going, okay, this is...
Did he belch out DeMarcus Ware's name at one point?
I think he said verse like six times.
Jason Taylor.
Yeah. He just, Bobby goes, okay, number six. This has got to be verse. Yeah, no, it's not. And then number seven.
Well, verse.
This has got to be verse.
Verse was an honorable mention.
He got to number 10. Well, man, this has to be verse. And Bobby goes, defeated, goes, no, it's not verse.
It's not verse.
He goes, that means he's 11? He's just outside the top 10.
Not in the top 10. We love you, Chubb. All right, let's talk with Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio, coming up next.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love
nation.
All right, the Big 12 Media Days have just wrapped up. We have our buddy from the Big 12 Radio Network. It is Ari Temkin set to join us here in the G-Bag Nation. Great to have you in on a hump day. And we'll talk some Rangers baseball with Jared Sandler at the top of the hour. Segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214-333-3333 as we head out to the D&M Leasing Hotline and welcome in our buddy Ari Temkin. Ari, how we doing?
What's going on? How are you?
We're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. The media days, you've been busy. You've been interviewing. Who's your favorite interview you've done so far?
Man, I'm trying to think of like the joking answer here, because I always want to like have fun and joke with you guys, or like the real answer, which is like kind of like more serious and not as fun. But
give me the fun.
Arizona.
Who felt like gave you the best case for an identity of his team, Ari? That's what I want to know.
You need to punch him in the face one day.
At some point, you're going to get dunked in his ass, Ari.
And congratulations, too, on your appointment there at Haymaker, too. You're doing a great job.
Dude, absolutely.
Thank you for that. And brought us to the best. You know I love you forever.
I know you do, man. I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you. I'll randomly get texts from friends. Hey, like, they're talking about you on The Fan. I was like, is Broad is talking about identity again? Like, that's, I love that.
There was nothing better than Ari after a game. And, like, we'd be sitting there, and Ari knew damn good and well they played very bad. He's like, Broadus, what do you think their identity of this team is? And I'd look at him like, Ari, their identity is they're losers. This is what they are. They're just flat losers. That's their identity right now.
You get to, like, the end of a three-hour pregame show.
Oh,
and
sure. You're right. I was so mad at him at the end, Ari. You know that. I was just mad at him. God.
But in all honesty, I love it. Like, and I think there's things in sports, like platitudes in sports, that we just kind of like continue to perpetuate that don't need to be. And like, that's one of those. Like, you should have called me out for that. It's hilarious.
I'm a jackass. I admit it, man. I mean, listen, Zach and Eric don't want to work with me anymore. You might have to come back. You know, they might have to bring you back.
That's really what this whole interview is about.
Your kids,
welcome back. Yeah, buddy.
Ari, they want you to come back. Your kids are grown now, right? So we can bring you back. You don't have to hang out at the house, right?
That's it. That's totally it. But no, I mean, look, like you, I don't take myself too seriously. I think that's an important part of this business. And like, so I like, it's the people that with the, this is an identity thing. Like, just don't take yourself so seriously, man.
Yeah.
Like, and in some ways, like Texas Tech fans, like cool it, man. Don't take yourself that seriously, Texas Tech fans. But going back to the question, Noah Fifita he's really cool. Like, Noah Fifita to me has one of the coolest stories in college football that nobody talks about. And like, you know, everybody complains about the transfer portal and NIL, and it's, you know, it's like kids these days, they don't want to face adversity and they leave at the first sign of adversity. And like, so Noah Fifita has been in Arizona his entire career. He blew up his freshman year with Jed Fish. Fish bolts, goes to Washington. He stays. He could have been justified in leaving. He didn't. He stayed at Arizona. Brent Brennan comes in. It's a really bad year that next year at Brennan. Could have left. Same thing, right? Like, faced adversity head on, stayed there, had a really good year last year. Now he's one of the most, you know, productive, consistent starters in the league, and yet, like, nobody talks about him. So, like, on the one hand, you have all these college football fans that complain about the transient nature of the sport, and, you know, all these kids that want to face adversity, and there's examples of the complete opposite of it right in front of their face, and they don't, like, it's not a story. It's not a talking point. It's just a really interesting sort of study on human behavior. And, like, we say we want certain things, but do we really want those things? Or are we just more focused on, like, the Sorsby stuff and the other, stuff on the side that's not celebrating the sport the way that it probably should be?
Hey, Ari, we had this discussion earlier. I'm sorry, it's going to take you off the track a little bit, but it's about BYU. And we were trying to figure out with the new Monster Energy thing, is the fact that BYU's now in the Big 12, did they have to kind of lighten up some of those honor code things to play ball with the guys and gals in the Big 12?
I mean, I do think the caffeine thing in Monster, like, that is a very interesting dynamic because, yeah, are they going to wear a caffeine-free Monster Energy drink patch?
Yeah. But we were talking about people, there's some, like, Mormons, you know, texting in saying, hey, you know, it's caffeine's okay, that kind of thing. But I just wondered, to get in the conference, did they have to make some concessions? I don't know, it's probably an unfair question to you. I mean, I know, I just usually come up with a great answer on these things, but I just wondered if BYU, you know, them being an independent, you know, for, you know, just as the last couple of years or so.
We found out Ari's a lawyer, so I'm sure he's got knowledge on this.
Yeah.
I mean, the answer is no, bro. They didn't, and I think that's noble. You know, like, you know, they don't play on Sunday. If in basketball, like, the Big 12 championship game in basketball had BYU played in it, like, it would have been moved to not play on Sunday. Mm. There's been some adjustments made for that. I mean, the honor code in terms of sexual relations. I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, and that wasn't it. But
you nailed it, man.
I mean, that sabotaged them in some ways. I mean, and like, in ways that could be used against them, where you've got, like, I'm not saying this has happened, but it could very reasonably happen, where you could have somebody accused of an impropriety that is then used to basically say, like, oh, you know, this person did that and you're not supposed to do that, and they're kicked off the team because they broke the honor code. So, you know, without having a really good I don't work for BYU, and
sure.
I don't know if people are getting away with the honor code. If people are getting away with that kind of stuff, but no, I don't think they've made concessions. And look, the reality is, you know, the Big 12 is benefiting as much from BYU as BYU is benefiting from the Big 12.
Absolutely.
They were a sleeping giant in sports. They have a really big, well-known brand. The Mormon Church has, you know, a huge population across the country. And they're good people.
Yeah.
They're really good people.
They're really nice when they kick your ass in football. I experienced really that nice. Myself. Yeah.
And they're not drunk.
No,
like,
not at all.
Genuinely really nice people.
They are. Very nice.
So, but yeah, you know, and I mean, good. I mean, look, they may have one of the greatest college football coach ever, and talk about, like, influencing offense in football. Mm. Like, Andy Reid may be the best offensive mind in football, and everything he learned.
He's a BYU guy.
Yep. So, I mean, still today, we're talking about legends in coaching from an offense that was designed, you know, by the namesake of BYU, you know, at Lavelle Edwards. So.
Yeah.
I think there's a history there. You know, they've had Heisman Trophy winners. In 84, they won a national championship, quote unquote. They have, to me, one of the better underrated stories in college football with their quarterback, Bear Bachmeyer, who wears number 47,
mm-hmm.
who was a true freshman last year,
yeah.
who spent spring football at Stanford. When Torrey Taylor gets fired, he bolts and leaves, and his only opportunity to start learning an offense as a true freshman was at fall camp. And he won the job and had a really good season and looked like a true freshman in the Big 12 championship game, but, like, has now had a full offseason. He's got a brother, Tiger. You guys may remember Hank Bachmeyer, but he's got another brother, Tiger. So it's Bear and Tiger on the same team. They have a tight end named Walker Lyons. So there could be a Lyons, Tiger, and Bear.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Ari Temkin with us here in the G-Bag Nation, Big 12 Radio. DJ Lagway, we have not highlighted a lot, at least on our show, and he might be kind of going under the radar, considering it was a bummer of a season at Florida. I know Will Chambers, our buddy, has been super high on DJ Lagway. What's the expectation for him in Baylor this year? And is Dave Aranda kind of in need of a big season, or else he might be shown the pink slip?
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to be shown the pink slip if they're at least not a bowl team. There's a couple of things to say on this. So, number one, it's really interesting. The Big 12 has two former number one overall, you know, quarterbacks coming out of high school in Connor Wegman, who went to Texas A&M and is now at Houston, and DJ Lagway. So a couple of, you know, reclamation projects, quote unquote, from guys that were very highly recruited. It's also interesting. Houston does also have the number one quarterback and number one player in the country right now as a true freshman in Keyshawn Henderson, who played for the legend Michael Bishop in high school. And Michael Bishop played for Willie Fritz way back in the day. Why am I forgetting the JUCO that Cam Newton went to? Blinn Junior College.
Blinn, yeah.
So that's interesting. Lagway, I love this dude. Like, today was my first chance to talk to him, or yesterday was my first chance to talk to him. Like, he's just everything you want. I mean, like, unbelievable size. Like, holy crap, is he big? I mean, great mentality, great leadership. I don't know if you guys have heard much about these, like, VR headsets that some NFL teams have, that
yes.
some college football programs have, where you can kind of, like, the quarterbacks put them on, they can speed it up, and some quarterbacks have said that the game slows down for them with these VR headsets when they're sped up. So Baylor told us that he has basically set the record on this VR headset in terms of usage of it, and so, you know, I'm really excited to see what he looks like. The thing, though, that I can't get out of the back of my mind is, when was the last time, you know, a situation where it's like you got to win or you're out has worked? Like, it feels like it never works. And so I just, like, there's a lot I'm buying from Baylor, but at the end of the day, these types of situations where it's like, man, you got to win and otherwise you're out, like, those situations do not work. And the reality is, if what happened with Mac Rhodes, their former athletic director, doesn't happen,
yeah,
I think, you know, G.J. Kinney, Texas State's current coach, somebody other than Dave Aranda would have been at Media Days here. So I'm rooting for him. I like Dave Aranda a lot. I know, you know, Broadus is an LSU guy. Like, you got to respect the hell out of him.
Love him.
He's just a very interesting guy. I don't know if he can be a head coach because I think he gets too caught up in the minutiae. But he's not presiding over the defense. They've got Joel Klanderman, who comes in from Kansas State, who has basically, you know, he has had top 30 defenses every year, even with injuries last year. So there is reason for optimism. I really like Lagway, but again, just I can't get over these situations rarely work out long term.
Is Colorado going to be good enough for Prime to keep his gig for next year?
I think Colorado's a sleeper in the Big 12.
Okay. All right.
I think to be a really good head coach, you got to check a lot of boxes. And in football, college football, you got to recruit. That's a box that Deion checks. His name still carries a lot of weight. You got to motivate. I think Deion is really good at that. His in-game coaching is not very good, and there's multiple opportunities to see it in close games. But I think despite that, you know, Brennan Marion, who's been around the block, was the head coach at Sacramento State and then is now taking over as their offensive coordinator. Like, they had Pat Shurmur running their offense last year with running quarterbacks. It made no sense. It was one of the dumbest things. You could see it coming from a mile away. It made no sense. This offense makes sense. And then, speaking of five-star quarterbacks, Juju Lewis is coming to his own, I think, now. And this, to me, is just the perfect – it's the go-go, Brennan Marion go-go offense. Deion has never had a running game since he's been at Colorado. They've always been, like, dead last in the Big 12 or close to it in running. Like, I think this is the perfect offense with the perfect players at the perfect time.
Mm.
So, again, like, I don't think this is a 9-10 win Big 12 championship team, but I think this is a bowl team. I think 6-7 wins is probably where they're at. And, Deion is best as a coach when he's counted out, and this is that year for sure.
Sure.
All right, last thing before we let you out of here, what have the talks been around Texas Tech during this Media Day coverage? And on the other side of that, I mean, is Cincinnati now finally going to be held accountable by the NCAA?
What, did Texas Tech do something?
Well, they're finally filing a little bit of an investigation, it seems, on Cincinnati, which was announced today by Pete Thamel.
Yeah, no, I was being facetious to the initial question.
Did Texas Tech do something? No, not at all. Cody Campbell is not speaking anymore.
We were talking to Scott Satterfield, and it's like, hey, whatever happened to your quarterback from last year? What happened to that guy?
Yeah, is he still around?
You know, so look, I think So there was the fanboy message board question that I asked to Brett Yormark. It was just a word vomit bad question that had elements of good questions in it. So, I think the question had to be, if you perceive that Texas Tech's being treated in this league differently than everybody else, then that should have been the question. Why is Texas Tech being treated differently? I don't think that's the case, but that if that's what you're going after, then that should have been the question. Instead of this long, convoluted, thought-out question that sounded as dumb as it was. I also think, the Cincinnati piece is interesting, too, and I'm also curious about it. But, unless you're a reporter that has done some background work on it, that you could say, I know because I'm doing, this is how reporting used to work, guy. It's just crazy to think we live in a world now where, some guy who lives in his mom's basement can go to media days and ask Brett Yormark this question and then impose on Cincinnati without having done any research or reporting on his own. It's just a bizarre world where, it used to be where, there'd be a reporter that would have maybe done some stuff on Cincinnati that sees that they might have some culpability that then asks the question. But it's backwards now. It's like making the other people do the work for the reporters that should have been doing the work themselves. I'm very interested to see what Cincinnati knew. Satterfield told us, we didn't know. I find that hard to believe, but it will come out if they do. There's going to be evidence of it, and at some point it will come out, and they probably should be punished if they played a guy that knew was gambling on the sport.
Ari, you're the man. Thanks so much for the time, brother. We'll catch up soon.
Love you guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Love you more. There he goes, Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll talk some Rangers baseball with Jared Sandler at the top of the hour. But coming up next, Cuban in court and the most psychotic thing I've seen in years.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation.
Thank you very much, LA. And yes, you can go and hang out with Sean and RJ. It's really Sean and Bobby at Just Love Coffee this Friday in Grand Prairie. They're going to be out there for a remote. So it was great seeing everybody out at the Globe yesterday. You got a chance to go say what up to Bobby and RJ. But right now, without further ado, before we get to Jared Sandler at the top of the hour, let's hit a sports hodgepodge, shall we?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. No one's listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. You rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
All right, Kennedy Landry is reporting that Wyatt Langford took live batting practice in the pregame, 4 at-bats at Globe Life Field today. He ran the bases and did defense yesterday. Trending in the right direction, nothing definitive, but it's possible he comes back before the break. Mm. Okay, we got to see if Jared Sandler would be on board with that. I know we were talking about it a little bit yesterday, if they rush him back. I know this is a huge week, Angels and Astros, and the Rangers have struggled versus really the entire division this year. So going into the break on a high note would be a very important thing, but rushing him back is a little bit scary. I don't know if I'm down for it. Also, I have Josh Young with the knee issue. He ran, hit, fielded today. Lots of acceleration and deceleration to test the knee. He said he's feeling good. Skip said he's available off the bench today. So maybe we get a little Jungle Cat action, pinch hit situation, and maybe that could pay dividends for the Rangers versus the Halos tonight. Now, we also have the report from our buddy Mike Fisher. Mark Cuban suing Patrick Dumont, Mavs owner. Old owner versus new owner. Part of the lawsuit is him being shut out of basketball operations despite the handshake agreement from the 2023 sale. Okay, so he's upset. Cuban's upset. Because upon the sale, their handshake, verbal agreement, hey, Mark, you'll still get to run the basketball ops for an extended period of time. But that, of course, never happened. And
not when you're paid billions of dollars.
Well, I just can't imagine that a handshake agreement on a billion-dollar deal is going to really be holding up in court here.
Yeah. You are a moron.
I agree.
That's just
I think he's kinda,
like, for as much of a business savvy Shark Tank guy that Mark Cuban is, that's an elementary ball dropping.
Kind of reaching there a little bit, I think.
About him being a businessman?
No,
business
reaching
savvy?
reaching about the deal, You know, you knew the situation probably pretty well. They were gonna come in there and do what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
You agreed to sell the team. You gave up that right. They might have well, you could still be governor and all that, and then they're like, oh, wait a minute, we don't need you to be the governor. We don't need you to be representing us. We sold you. We sold the team. It's our team now.
Yeah, we're good here.
We're here. Yeah.
Everything's under control. Nothing crazy is going to happen when you leave,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, we're not going to trade our best players or anything like that.
We're not going to nuke the franchise for an extended period of time. Yeah. So that'll be...
Seriously, I don't know how you sell something to somebody and then think that you could still have a part of it, having control.
Like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge agreement. That's got to be in writing. And I think Mark Cuban is probably kicking himself.
Unless they asked him to stay on, you know? If all of a sudden, if Cuban can prove that Patrick DeMond and that family wanted him to stay on, then maybe he has a case, but I can't believe that.
Yeah, I don't know how you can really prove any of that if it's not in writing, unless you were secretly recording your verbal agreements with each other. I don't know how it is that would really hold in court. So, I don't know. Mark Cuban must feel like he's got a good case here. Now,
when you do the handshake agreement, do you spit on your hand first and then shake it?
That's how I've always done it.
That's how you do it. And then you shake. Here we go.
It's like what group does that?
What group does that? Is there a certain nationality that does that, or is that? I mean, is that a like an Italy or
no? I was seeing that like in gangster
Canada
movies.
What do we do?
Oh, the gangster.
I've seen the gangster movies. Yeah,
the gangster movies. Okay,
seen it in Euphoria.
I got you. I got you.
Yes,
I got you.
Really is disgusting.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is at the American Century Tahoe Golf Tournament.
He's got the type of game that might win that thing.
Oh, he's legit.
They asked him about Bron.
They asked him about LeBron. And, of course, golf is in the air here, but you're going to like this broadest quote. I'd say more so I'm interested to just play golf with LeBron. We'll handle the basketball stuff, but I want to see the golf LeBron free agent.
Yeah.
He's grinding on the golf game, and we would love to play with each other, but he's more concerned about playing golf with LeBron. You nailed it. If that ends up being the case, it's just I want this to be my golf buddy for the next year.
I'm sorry, folks.
That's what
folks,
it is.
I,
but he's not going to go to Golden State. It's not going to happen.
He loves golf so much, and it's become this, like, you know, he's one of these guys that seems to be very passionate about things and doing things and taking up the game, and he's getting good at it, you know. And you don't fly all your buddies to Scotland to go play golf, you know. That is, you're taking that trip because you want to take that trip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's serious about it.
You're just bringing your guys along is what you're doing.
Okay, is this the most psychotic thing you guys have seen in a long time? New York City garbage is making headlines once again. We remember after the Knicks parade, you had that lady who picked up the Knicks painted trash can, dumped it out, and then carried it with her back home via the subway. She lost her job, got fined, all sorts of things. Well, now you just had the Swift and Kelce wedding at Madison Square Garden, and the headline reads, "Unhinged Taylor Swift fanatics are buying cubes of New York City street trash collected around MSG for $25 a pop."
Oh my God, bro.
I mean, how psycho do you have to be? Somebody, great entrepreneur, decided I could go walk around the arena, scoop up trash, put it in these tiny little clear boxes, very, very small, seal it up, and put it online for $25, and the Swifties all around the world will pay for it and pay the $10 shipping that it involves. Is that not the most psycho thing you've ever heard?
Very much so.
Like, this dude he's making pretty good money selling this right now. Like, he's sold quite a few. Around the entire world, you have rabid Taylor Swift fans that are buying little boxes of trash.
Yeah, it's crazy.
From
what these
around
people do.
Madison Square Garden.
The wild women.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, that's like intervention worthy. That show, Like, these are true. Yeah. These people are fit for a straitjacket, dude.
No, it's these Swifties. Like, in it's just insane.
And what he seals it. He seals it in a way. He says to make sure that the odor doesn't protrude out, because this is true garbage from around the arena. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's not even like it was the garbage from inside the arena.
When they stuck,
this might not have anything to do with the Taylor Swift wedding. It's just garbage from around the arena at about the time they tied the knot.
But they're thinking maybe this could have been Taylor's trash.
Maybe this was her napkin that she wiped the wedding cake icing off of her face.
You never know. And it's the possibility of it alone is worth the box of trash.
Is it true that
every one of those people,
the boys this
is
morning,
a psycho.
The boys this morning were saying that their wedding vows were 20 minutes each long.
What?
It was 40 minutes.
Well, she's a writer.
She's a writer.
I don't know about
Bobby thinks that
Travis.
Maybe Bobby was thinking that maybe
Travis
that,
has never read anything for 20 straight minutes. Let's be honest.
That, well, he was thinking that, like, Bobby was saying that she is that way. She's a writer, and maybe he felt pressure to try and match her.
Oh, I bet that he could have gotten anybody to help him write his vows that he wanted to. I mean, gosh, if Adam Sandler officiated it, I'm
Either
sure
way,
he could get a movie writer to do this for
Dylan
him.
Dylan Cease is going to go to the ninth with a no-hitter. He's walked three in this game against San Francisco.
Well, his pitch count is way up there now, but you don't take him out, man. Yeah. You got to let him keep going.
Yeah. Let's go, Dylan. We're pulling for you, pal.
All right, there's your hodgepodge. Let's keep the baseball conversation rocking. We'll watch Dylan Cease. We'll let you know if he's able to do this. 8 innings, no hits, 10 Ks. There you go, Brian.
Yep.
He hit the prize
hit
pitch.
The
he's got a couple
hit
of walks.
More.
Does he hit the no-hitter? We'll talk with Sandler next here in the Nation.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.